I just want to make it understood that the entire system that we live in is a sham. It's a false system, falsity defined by the fact that it cannot be sustained. It's that simple.
Cheap to meter, ladies and gentlemen. Nuclear power. We'll talk about it because it seems to be in the news. Who knew? Who knew anybody cared about this stuff? Till now.
Affected reactors have been shut down automatically. They have been shut down, so there's no longer a chain reaction of nuclear material.
Today, a fire broke out at the world's biggest nuclear plant located in northern Japan.
To cool the stricken nuclear reactor at Fukushima. Jets of seawater are being used to reduce the risk of another explosion and stop a leak of radioactive uranium.
This was the eighth fire to occur at the nuclear plant. It also happens to be the world's biggest capacity plant, but has been closed after sustaining damage in an earthquake in July 2007.
Well, there's an eerie similarity between what's happening in Japan today and what happened in Pennsylvania in 1979.
Where tonight, nuclear officials there are warning of a possible nuclear reactor meltdown. They have been watching three facilities near the epicenter with concern all day, and at one of them, fuel rods are now exposed, and if they stay that way, they could release radioactivity and a disaster of unknown proportions.
Raindrops falling on my head.
As the 25th anniversary of the Chernobyl accident quickly approaches, yes, buy a card. Flowers would be nice. European agencies are warning there's a multi-million dollar funding shortfall to build a steel shelter over the stricken reactor. This is from The Independent in London. The European Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the European Union, in partnership with Ukraine, are funding the Chernobyl Shelter Fund. Please give. Which includes the development and construction of a shelter to completely encase the old reactor. The Independent reports the European backers say there's a shortfall of €750 million, almost $1 billion, to build the shelter. The entire project costs an estimated 1.15 billion somethings. This story keeps shifting back and forth between euros, American dollars, and Canadian dollars. Would you like some of those? Would you like a loonie? Before we go on, the shelter is expected to be completed by 2015, described as the largest movable structure ever built. I left room there for you to insert your favorite person as the... The shelter will be approximately 108 meters high, 164 meters wide, and over 250 meters long. Get your yardsticks out. Once built, cranes and other machinery will work inside to dismantle the old reactor. But the partnership supposedly coming up with the fund says it wants other non-EU member countries, including Russia, to come up with the remaining cash.
Oh,
also clean, safe, too cheap to... There is the case of nuclear submarines. This from The Guardian of London. And no, it's not in Manchester anymore, as one listener wrote me. Check your calendar. The reactors that power Britain's naval submarines are, quote, potentially vulnerable, unquote, to fatal nuclear accidents because they fail to meet modern safety standards. You know, like the ones we have now. This according to a heavily censored report declassified by Britain's Ministry of Defense. The senior nuclear safety expert warns that the safety of submarine reactors compares poorly with that of nuclear power stations, and they're so good, and there could be dangerous leaks of radioactivity. There was also a risk of multiple fatalities from submarines failing to surface, he says. Yet the reactors are being installed in a new fleet of astute submarines, and they're still under consideration for the submarines due to replace those that carry Trident missiles. The report issued under the Freedom of Information Law and passed to Channel 4 News in England also reveals that arguments over the reactor designs have delayed decisions on replacing the submarines by 18 months and added, well, you know, quarter of a billion to the bill. But you don't have to live on a submarine. You do have to live on land. You don't have to live in Antarctica. A small nuclear power plant used at McMurdo Sound near New Zealand's Antarctic base is being implicated by U.S. media in unusual cancers in men who worked on it in the 1960s, according to a New Zealand publication. It's also been revealed that the PM3A nuclear power plant, known as Nuki-Poo for the way it leaked, had 438 malfunctions in its life between 1964 and 1973. I have more than that every day. Come on. After it was closed down, the U.S. shipped 7,700 cubic meters, get your yardsticks out, of radioactive contaminated rock and dirt to California. That's why it's so nice there. ABC TV-affiliated stations in the U.S. this week reported what they said was a link between the plant and cancer. A Navy veteran, Charlie Swinney, died a year ago from multiple cancerous tumors. He wrote many letters to the Veterans Administration questioning his condition and the link with McMurdo. Charlie had over 200 tumors in his body, said his wife. Sorry, his widow. He kept saying, this isn't right. Why are there so many of us in this close group getting sick like this? Other McMurdo veterans across the U.S. now have been revealed to have cancer. Another said, the doctors told me that's the type of cancer you typically get from exposure to radiation. Before dying in 2002, Carl Sackman of Idaho wrote the VA saying there had been leaks at the plant. Ohio Senator Sherrod Brown says he's working to fully fund an investigation to expedite claims and to use the best science available. A U.S. Naval Nuclear Power Unit operating report on the plant said there were 438 malfunctions, quote, attributable to the fact that the initial control rod drive mechanism system was a complex experimental system, which was continually modified in efforts for improvement, unquote. As well as producing 1,250 kilowatts of electricity, it also ran a water distillation plant. It was fueled by strontium-90 pellets, an unusual fuel, because of their high radioactivity levels. Yeah, that is experimental. And you don't have to live in Iran. A shattered cooling pump at Iran's only civilian nuclear-powered reactor, forcing a shutdown during its initial startup phase, has renewed safety concerns about the hybrid Russian-German power plant on the Persian Gulf coast. According to Bloomberg, the plant combines a German-designed plant begun under the rule of the Shah and Russian technology installed over the last decade. That's got to work. Safety questions have raised concern among some nuclear power experts and in neighboring countries, such as Kuwait, which is vulnerable in the event of a radiation leak since it is downwind. Hey, babe, we're all downwind. It's a circular thing. It's a spherical system, actually. The rest of the world is depending on Russia for policing the nuclear safety of this reactor, said an expert on Iranian nuclear issues. The pump failure raises questions, he says, about the decisions the Russians made to move forward with emergency coolant system that's 30 years old. Hey, look, nothing can go wrong with a coolant system. Dateline Plymouth, Massachusetts. U.S. Representative Edward Markey is criticizing the Nuclear Regulatory Commission for failing to disclose details about a security issue that was discovered at the Pilgrim nuclear power plant last fall. Can't be dangerous. It's called Pilgrim. They were nice. Markey sent a letter to the chairman of the Regulatory Commission, Gregory Jaczko. Gregory, you pronounce it. That asked a series of questions about the unspecified security deficiency. He asked why the federal agency hadn't released details regarding the incident to the public. I think we know the answer. We're panic-prone here in the public, unlike officials. The agency disclosed last week that an inspection in October and November discovered a security issue of, quote, low to moderate significance at the Plymouth plant. The agency declined to specify what the hell it was. Plant owner, Entergy, there's that Entergy again, took immediate corrective actions to address the issue, whatever it was and whatever they were, and whoever the spokesman was. Markey, in his letter, asked what kind of consequences Entergy will face for this most recent violation. Here's my bet. They won't be allowed to watch cable for an hour. And he asked whether the NRC will impose higher penalties, considering there have been 11 other security-related violations at Pilgrim since 2006. Lucky it's not in Antarctica. Markey is also asking whether the agency has identified similar violations at other nuclear power plants. But it's clean, it's cheap, it's safe, it's too... Oh. It may not be that cheap. Dateline Toronto. I'm sorry, for the Canadians listening. Dateline Toronto. An expected surge in demand for uranium to fuel new reactors, well, maybe, let's assume, may go unfilled if new supply does not soon come on stream, meaning a setback for China, the United States, and other countries that are increasingly relying on nuclear energy. A host of uranium explorers promised to bring projects into production before a major supply crunch. Most are overestimating their ability to deliver on schedule, according to industry experts quoted by Reuters. That could leave a vacuum for major uranium producers searching for acquisitions. At the Prospectors and Developers Conference in Toronto, there was a crowd of junior explorers touting near-production projects. But there may be a spike in the price of uranium. Current global demand is 180 million pounds a year, of which 140 million comes from mines. The rest is filled by stockpiles and recycled weapons. Recycled weapons, what a good idea. China is the major new player in the game. But for all the warnings, some power companies still may be unprepared for the realities of the upcoming crunch, according to one production executive. Quote, the utilities remain blissfully ignorant, thinking that somehow at current prices, well-meaning but totally inadequate, new firms will somehow get their operations off the ground in ridiculously short time frames. Unquote. Electric utilities that run nuclear power plants blissfully ignorant? Sir, it strains credulity. It's clean, it's cheap, it's safe. It's too credulous to meter. It's our friend the Atom. Bye, Eddie.
So what?
The cardboard box to sleep in it, and man converted the newspaper to a blanket. Well, you have to admit that he's come a long way since swinging about in the tree. Well, the smile. Agrees to give itself.
You have a world of experience in this. You were one of the commissioners of the NRC that oversaw the entire nuclear power sector in the United States. In your assessment, is this worse than Three Mile Island based on what you've heard?
Well, it's much worse than Three Mile Island. Actually, each of the individual problems, each of the reactors is itself an accident that is worse than Three Mile Island. At Three Mile Island, all the equipment worked, basically. And here, you've got massive failure of all the backup power, all the emergency systems that are supposed to protect the reactor. And you have fairly substantial releases, worrisome releases, which we didn't have at Three Mile Island.
Make no mistake, the greatest destroyer of ecology, the greatest source of waste and depletion and pollution, the greatest purveyor of violence, war, crime, poverty, animal abuse and inhumanity, the greatest generator of social and personal neuroses, mental disorders, depression, anxiety, not to mention the greatest source of social paralysis, stopping us from moving into new methodologies for personal health, global sustainability, and progress on this planet, is not some corrupt government or legislation, not some rogue corporation or banking cartel, not some flaw of human nature, and not some secret hidden cabal that controls the world. It is, in fact, the socioeconomic system itself at its very foundation.
I don't really, honestly, deep down believe in political action. I think the system contracts and expands as it wants to. It accommodates these changes. I think the civil rights movement was an accommodation on the part of those who own the country. I think they see where their self-interest lies. They see a certain amount of freedom seems good, an illusion of liberty. Give these people a voting day every year so that they'll have the illusion of meaningless choice. Meaningless choice that we go like slaves and say, "Yo, I voted." The limits of debate in this country are established before the debate even begins, and everyone else is marginalized. They're made to seem either to be communists or some sort of disloyal person. A kook, there's a word, and now it's conspiracy. See, they've made that something that should not be even entertained for a minute, that powerful people might get together and have a plan. Doesn't happen. You're a kook. You're a conspiracy buff.
You know, economists, in fact, not economists at all, they're propagandists of money value. And you'll find that all their models basically get down to token exchanges that are to the profit of one side or both sides or whatever, but they're completely disconnected from the actually existing world.
Whether you are dealing with the philosophies of Milton Friedman, F.A. Hayek, John Maynard Keynes, Ludwig von Mises, or any other major market economist, the basis of rationale rarely leaves the money sequence. It is like a religion. Consumption analysis, stabilization policies, deficit spending, aggregate demand. It exists as a never-ending, self-referring, self-rationalizing circle of discourse where universal human need, natural resources, or any form of physical life-supporting efficiency is ruled out by default and replaced by the singular notion that humans seeking advantage over each other for money alone, motivated by their own narrow self-interest, will magically create a sustainable, healthy, balanced society.
The principle underlying the prevention of violence, it would be equality. The single most significant factor that affects the rate of violence is the degree of equality versus the degree of inequality in that society.
Walker Coke is trending after Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker was prank called by a journalist posing as billionaire conservative supporter David Koch.
Scott, David Koch.
A reporter from BuffaloBeast.com spent 20 minutes on the phone with Walker, who repeatedly made clear he has no intention of backing down in the budget standoff in Wisconsin.
If they think I'm caving, they've been asleep for the last 8 years.
Democrats in the Wisconsin legislature have walked out in protest over Walker's proposals to scale back public unions and cut their collective bargaining rights. On the call, Walker does say he's prepared to talk to his opponents if they return, but not to negotiate.
Now let's talk about what Governor Walker's motivations are in Wisconsin. Is it to help the average Wisconsin voter, or is it to help his campaign contributors? Gee, I wonder. So first, Sarah Palin jumped in, pretending to be on the side of the average working person in Wisconsin, while actually, of course, being completely on the opposite side. This is what she wrote on Facebook. Quote, "Union brothers and sisters, this is the wrong fight at the wrong time." Brothers and sisters who? What? Your brothers and sisters? How are they your brothers and sisters? Please spare me. Then she also wrote, quote, "Real solidarity means everyone being willing to sacrifice and carry our share of the burden." Really? What share of the burden are the rich bearing? Are they taking a hit here? All I saw was cuts for the working guys and the average guys in Wisconsin. You know what the businesses in Wisconsin are going to get? A $67 million tax cut over the next 2 years. We're sharing the burden. Now, speaking of not sharing the burden and making sure that the rich always benefit from Republican proposals, here comes the Koch brothers. Koch Industries was Scott Walker's fourth largest donor during his 2010 campaign. Gee, I wonder what they want. And now Governor Walker is running with the union-busting budget bill, which was pushed by the Koch-funded American Legislative Exchange Council.
The crowd just erupted and kind of took over and chanting "Recall Walker," and we're gonna meet him everywhere he goes. We are not going away.
Well, I'm the meanest man and never had a brain. All I scatter is aches and pains. Carbolic acid and a poison face, and I stand flat-footed in favor of crime and disgrace. If I ever done a good deed, I'm sorry of it. I'm mean in the east and mean in the west, mean to the people that I like the best. I go around and causing a lot of accidents, and I push folks around and I cause train wrecks. I'm a big disaster, just going somewhere to happen. I'm an organized famine, studying how I can be a little bit meaner. Everybody in this world looks mean to me. There's nothing put here good on earth that I can see. Steal the nickels off of dead people's eyes, and I spend them trying to learn how to get a little wiser, be a little meaner. Still too good to suit myself. Mean, that's all. Just plain old mean. I ride around on the subway trains, laughing at the tight shoes dealing you pain. And I laugh when the car shakes from side to side, and I laugh my loudest when other people cry. I just can't help it, I guess. I was born good, just like you. I turned off mean. I hate everybody don't think like me, and I'd rather see you dead than ever see you free. I'd rather see you starve to death than see you at work, and I'm reading all I can now to learn how to hurt, deal misery, spread diseases, keep you without no vote, keep you without no union. I hurt when I see you getting along so well. I'd 10 times rather see you in the fires of hell. I couldn't stand to see you in a house fixed nice. I'd like to keep you in that rotten hole there, all full of bugs and lice. Roaches, termites, sand fleas, tater bugs, grub worms, stinger bees, vinegarones, translers, spiders, childs of the earth, ticks and blowflies. And these is all of my little angels. Help me to do the best part of my meanness, and mosquitoes. Well, I used to be a pretty nice feller, but I turned a scab, and then I turned yellow, and I fought every union with teeth and toenail, and I sprouted a 6-inch stinger right in my tail. I growed horns, cut them off, wanted to fool you. I hate union everywhere, because God likes unions, and I hate God. If I can get the fat to hating the lean, that'd tickle me more than anything I've seen. Then I'd get colors to fighting one another, friend against friend and sister against brother. That'll be it, the stripe it against the polka dots. That'll be just it, everybody's brains are boiling in turpentine, their teeth falling out all up and down the sidewalks. That'll just suit me. I ain't no union man because I hate everything that's organized and planned. I love to hate and I hate to love. I'm mean. just mean, that's all, just plain old mean.
Of course, when you hear the word freedom, it tends to be in the same sentence with something called democracy. It's fascinating how people today seem to believe that they actually have a relevant influence on what their government does, forgetting that the very nature of our system offers everything for sale. The only vote that counts is the monetary vote, and it doesn't matter how much any activist yells about ethics or accountability. In a market system, every politician, every legislation, and hence every government is for sale. And even with the $20 trillion bank bailout starting in 2007, an amount of money which could have changed, say, the global energy infrastructure to fully renewable methods, instead going to a series of institutions that literally do nothing to help society, institutions that could be removed tomorrow with no recourse. The blind conditioning that politics and politicians exist for the public well-being still continues. The fact is, politics is a business, no different than any other in a market system, and they care about their self-interest before anything else.
The breakdown of society is occurring. People say, well, we're going to have a recovery of the economy. The most dangerous thing that we can have right now is a recovery of the U.S. economy. The most dangerous thing that we can have right now is the use of more resources, because all it's going to do is speed up the inevitable destruction. If more people go out and buy lots of automobiles to help the economy, all that's going to do is get more fuel into the tanks taken from the resources of the planet. More gasoline is used, more energy is going to be wasted on the idea of consumption. And this is what, again, will kill us.
When I was a young man growing up in New York City, I refused to pledge allegiance to the flag. Of course, I was sent to the principal's office. And he asked me, why don't you want to pledge allegiance? Everybody does. I said, everybody once believed the earth was flat, but that doesn't make it so. I explained that America owed everything it has to other cultures and other nations, and that I would rather pledge allegiance to the earth and everyone on it. Needless to say, it wasn't long before I left school entirely. And I set up a lab in my bedroom. There I began to learn about science and nature. I realized then that the universe is governed by laws and that the human being, along with society itself, was not exempt from these laws. Then came the crash of 1929, which began what we now call the Great Depression. I found it difficult to understand why millions were out of work, homeless, starving, while all the factories were sitting there. The resources were unchanged. It was then that I realized that the rules of the economic game were inherently invalid. Shortly after came World War II, where various nations took turns systematically destroying each other. I later calculated that all the destruction and wasted resources spent on that war could have easily provided for every human need on the planet. Since that time, I have watched humanity set the stage for its own extinction. I have watched as the precious finite resources are perpetually wasted and destroyed in the name of profit and free markets. I have watched the social values of society be reduced into a base artificiality of materialism and mindless consumption. And I have watched as the monetary powers control the political structure of supposedly free societies. I'm 94 years old now, and I'm afraid my disposition is the same as it was 75 years ago.
This shit's got to go.